Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the July 16 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Matt Bennett of Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois, Scott Harms of Archer Financial Services from Oakland, Illinois, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. It's public radio for the farming world. We always begin our discussion with a quick list of items to take up. Matt Bennett of Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting, what's on your list?
Well, I think probably the biggest thing that we all might want to debate is, what kind of yield expectations we're all looking at, because obviously there's a lot of different views on this, and this is probably going to be a really tough year to get to that number. I don't think it'll August will give us an explanation, but it won't be the final. And then I don't know. I would probably want to talk a little bit about demand, not just with exports, but, you know, with the news today that might be getting some South American soy meal into the southeastern U.S.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
I think that, plus, I don't know if you need to still talk about nitrogen deficiency in places or not. And then weather still... what's the weather forecast? Is it more rain or not?
Scott Harms of Archer Financial Services.
I think we should talk a little bit about the potential of the soybean market. The corn market's done a real good job factoring in, corn yields probably in the 163 area with this price ascension. But I think there's some real problems going forward in the bean market. I think you could draw a scenario pretty easily where soybean prices kind of lead the day over the next 45 days.
Tell me more about that. What are you thinking at this time?
Well, if you, first of all, draw a comparison to, 2013 is a year where we had 6.8% carryover estimate. This year we're running a little bit higher than that. But if you take crop conditions being the second worst that they've been over the last 7 years, and in those years, excluding last year, where crop conditions were outstanding, and you throw out 2012, where they were real poor, we had yields closer to 44 bushel an acre. So if you take that into account and throw that into your balance sheet, and then you drop planted acres, about 1 million acres, for what we've lost, and you can debate that back and forth, I think you could draw a scenario very similar to 2013, and 2013 prices were traded in the $11 to $14 area during the month of August. Now, we're not looking for numbers that quite that extreme, but I think you could get to a $11.50, $12 target pretty easily.
I got a question on your corn yield. Why do people believe it's that high? I mean, there's a ton of damage out there. I've got people telling me it won't be $155. On corn yield.
Yeah, I'm not
that
suggesting
happened,
that
where's that at?
Yeah, no. I agree that there is some real bad corn in especially the state of Illinois and Indiana. I'm not suggesting that that's the yield. I believe that that's where we're trading. When we trade up to 450, I'm suggesting that the market has discounted 163. If you want to go to 160, I don't know what it's going to be. We'll find that out over a long period of time, because it will take a long time. I think if you dropped it to 160, you'd be to easily be talking about $5 corn, but
I think we got to be in harvest before they really have a decent clue. Truthfully,
I did think, Scott, that 2013 was an interesting comparison year. That was the year that southern Minnesota, northern part of central Iowa, didn't plant. In fact, in Minnesota, there was an immense amount of prevent plant because of wet weather. Though it was pretty isolated, there was a fairly substantial drop in price in July, but it did eventually recover. Was this what you were looking at?
Yeah, I think you could get to that similar stocks to use ratio pretty easily. And yeah, that if that's the case, I think a $10 November beans could be significantly undervalued.
Yeah, and Matt, what are you thinking about comparison years at this point? Have you thought very much about analogous years?
Well, I definitely looked at this 13 year as well. I think that the job of the market obviously is to try to get a handle on the crop size. I understand, with crop condition ratings that we could be looking at a pretty poor U.S. soybean crop. And I think that that's the case. I mean, I've been throughout a good portion of Illinois and Indiana, and there's some horrific crops out there. The thing that, whenever I talk to producers, the thing that we talk about, though, is that, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that we are in a world situation where we have very ample stocks. Because while I think this weather market could really get the soybean market fired up, and I'm not saying I don't think that we're going to rally. I think we will rally. But I want to be selling into the rally for producers that feel really good about their production, especially because I think that the farther we go, whether it be this fall or sometime this winter, at some point the realization is going to have to come to mind that our export business is probably going to be on a downhill slide simply because we are not going to have the readily available supply that South Americans have. And again, this is the largest world stocks going into our harvest that we've ever had.
Right. So Darrell Good reminded us this week in his pinnings on the weekly outlook that in these kinds of crop years, the best opportunities sometimes come prior to harvest as opposed to after harvest. Are you all thinking about such things? Pete Manhart, have you been considering what the options for producers might be, how they might handle having a short crop, that is.
We've been buying a lot of calls for the last 2 to 3 weeks while we've been making this up move. Now we dropped off of it this week from the highs, but you look, we made $1.50 up move in beans and 90 in corn, and we've dropped back from those highs. But during that time going up there, I've had a lot of people, due to their crops, buying calls to have a crop that will get more valuable. And I've got lots of people thinking 12 will easily be hit on beans and 5 on corn easily. So just due to how nasty it is out there in a big, big area, not just a very small area.
Yeah, so when you consider, though, Pete, how nasty in the big, big area and how good in, I guess, kind of an equally big area, I don't know, Nebraska, Minnesota,
Nebraska,
Iowa.
Minnesota, parts of Iowa, not all of Iowa, but Illinois, Iowa, or not, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, even up into Wisconsin and Michigan, there's some, there's 20% of the crop in Illinois that's really good. How good is really good this year? It's not like last year, even in the good areas.
It'll be tough for producers, I think, Matt, to work through this process. How are you approaching it?
I've been similar to Pete in that, we were sitting here before the June 30th report trying to think, what could we do that might give us an opportunity let's think a little differently here. And we're buying a lot of these cheap calls, a lot of the short-dated calls, just to get through the report, because I was leaning bullish. I didn't know it was going to be as bullish as it was, but I was leaning that way. And my thought process is, if we could buy some cheap calls and benefit from those, it's going to make it a little bit easier to make new crop sales, whenever you get cash to 4, 410, 420. If you've made 30 cents on a call, you got 450 corn. Guys that are sitting in really good production, they feel good about that. The problem is the guys that are in an area where they've had just way too much rain. So this is a year where every individual farm is different. Producers need to be very, very intentional about knowing what their cost of production is, what's their break-even price for the corn at realistic levels, yield levels, and then get out in the field, because from one side of the field to the other or 30 steps away, you know, you could be looking at a 200-bushel swing.
Scott, across your clientele, and maybe we can talk about the Oakland area to begin with, and you and Matt aren't all that far apart when he's at Windsor, but you get into that Paris area. Is there a difference between the crops to the east and to the south of you as opposed to the other two directions?
I would say that around the Oakland area, the corn crop was in real good shape. I think you get probably keep in mind there was a period in early June, late July, where they were actually somewhat dry. So the corn crop didn't suffer like it did in the northern parts of Illinois. You get over into Indiana. They were a little wetter earlier, closer to Indiana. The corn crop is a little worse in that direction. Overall, the soybeans have been the ones that have certainly had the bigger concern for the producers in that area. They've improved a little bit over the last week or so because the rains have somewhat subsided, or they at least lessened, and they've noticed a significant change in the way the beans look. But this has been certainly a challenging year from a marketing standpoint for producers, because they were told, you know, early on in this growing season, we got the rapid pace of planting, that they needed to lock in, you know, profits and even maybe lock in a loss just to protect themselves. And then as we moved into June with the heavy rains, you talk to these analysts and talk to several, and it's just so counterintuitive to think that June rains can be devastating to the crop. In some areas it was. And so they were, even some of the better analysts out there were still saying, sell it. You know, rain is going to be a helpful thing. And then if rains would have stopped in late June, some of those early sales would look really, really good right now. So we have been with our customers, and I think in general the way this market's been trading is spending the last probably 30 days looking at doing what Pete and Matt suggests, and trying to unwind some of those previous sales, because either they have a 20% sale that turned into a 40% sale or an 80% sale, and they need to get out from under that, or at least protect that and reopen the upside. So there hasn't been a lot of new sales on this move up. I guess in our client base has been more focused on trying to get out of the way of this market, especially for those that have, you know, the poor crop conditions.
Matt, you suggested we need to take up yield expectations. Where do you think they stand nationwide for both corn and soybeans?
Well, that's a great question. You know, some of the guys that I talked to, whether we're talking some of the areas you talked about previously. So, you know, in northern Iowa, South Dakota, North Dakota, in parts, and in Nebraska, I've got guys telling me that, you know, there's a pretty decent chunk of areas in which guys feel like they've got as good a crop as they've ever had. I just went over to Tipton, Indiana last week to make a presentation, and I asked those guys, you know, I mean, because there was standing water, and I didn't see any corn over shoulder high, probably. It just didn't look very good. And so I asked the guys in the room, what kind of yield expectations do you guys have this year? Because I know you've been hurt, and they said 100 to 100 and a quarter if we're lucky. And I said, well, you know, what's your APH on this ground in here? 180 to 220. And so, I will say from that North Bend, Indianapolis area all the way over to the border, and then I've also been South Bend, went over there, did U.S. Farm Report a couple weeks ago, and it doesn't look any better. A significant chunk of Indiana has been hurt big time. And I would say from Champaign to Danville, some of that in there is some of the best ground placed outdoors. And I've never seen it look. It's just there's large areas where you're looking at guys would be very fortunate to be 50% of their APH. And so it's going to be really hard to gauge just how good the good is and how bad the bad is and where that's going to meet. But I would say, based upon the guys that I talked to with Channel, I know east of Mississippi is going to drag west of Mississippi down. And I would say 160 would be the absolute most that I could foresee a national yield at this point, based upon the variety of people that I talked to.
Scott, I'll let you reiterate, but I think I have a corn yield from you of 163 at this point.
Yeah, that's where I believe the market's trading. Yeah, we'll find out over time. I mean, there, as everyone's pointed out, there are some bad areas. I got a customer, you know, in Minnesota, and everyone does that. He would say that, you know, he's told me that if he can't produce 250 bushel corn this year, he never will. I mean, so there are some really good corn out there. It just is going to take a long time to figure it out, as Pete said earlier. And it's almost the opposite effect of last year, where we go into these USDA reports on a monthly basis. They don't change the yield in July. They didn't do it this year, and they, even though we expected them to go, you know, we expected it's too high. Last year we expected it was too low. They didn't change them until the August report. We go into these production reports now, August and September, and there's going to be this nervous anticipation of what are they going to lower it to. Last year it was, what are they going to raise it to? This year it's going to be, what are they going to lower it to? And I just think you could have the opposite effect, where market might sit idle, focus on demand for a couple weeks, and then as we get closer and closer to these supply and demand reports, these production reports in August and September, I think there's going to be a real nervousness in the trade. And again, beans being my focus, and markets might see some firmness going into each one of these reports.
On the demand front, Pete Manhart, what do you think of the idea that imports of these crops will be coming into the United States?
I think the rumors are out there. There's supposedly loads of, on the bean side and on the meal side, of stuff coming this way. I don't know how much it is. The corn, I haven't heard, except for rumors. I haven't heard any facts. But I still think when you look at the entire world of what we've got available, and then the world having struggling, especially China, who uses a ton of our stuff with their economic news, I think that on the usage side is a problem for us. And I just think that with our high prices compared to the rest of the world, our exports could be lessened quite a bit. And then if we bring other people in here at a profitable rate, that'll hurt our domestic usage. I still think, too, that the yields won't be determined until we get halfway through harvest. I think there's an awful lot of downside numbers to come out mid-October to the end of October on where yields are really, how low they can get.
Matt, do you have worries about the export market?
Well, you know, up until this week, recently, corn export sales were rolling along fairly good. Obviously, this week they weren't that good. Don't really expect to have much in the way of soybean exports this time of year. We haven't the last couple of years. The thing that probably bothers me as much as anything is our new crop export sales for both corn and beans have been lagging. And I think that's something we probably need to keep an eye on, especially with USDA hinting that our exports might be a little bit better next year than what they were this year. I think that a lot of that is going to be heavily dependent upon just how much higher we take this price. Or, you know, if I'm a country who's a big consumer of corn, and I do think that the U.S. crop might end up at a 155, I would think that I would be locking in some purchases now. And so that's part of the reason I'm not I'm a little bit concerned, you know, whenever you come in on a day like today and you just don't see the type of export sales that you would hope for, you know, whenever you're looking at next year's, we're actually decent on corn, but recently we just haven't had a whole lot at all. And then this year's, you know, at 331, it's just, as a marketing year low. So it's not really what we want to see.
Are you worried, Scott, about the Chinese economy as it relates to the import of U.S. soybeans?
I'm probably more concerned that our prices may limit our sales to that country, you know, because, again, I think we're going to pinch demand if we hit some of these price levels that we're all kind of intimating or talking about. You know, you get $5 corn, you get $12.50 beans, you are going to hear of slowing of demand. That's part of the equation. That's a concern going forward. But again, I think the next 45 days is all about the supply side of the equation. We'll discuss demand sometime down the road. once we have determined how big this year's crop is. But as far as price direction is concerned, I don't think we're going to be driven a lot by the demand side of the equation. I'm a little dubious that we're going to import meal from Argentina, at least wholesale. By the time it gets here, we'll have new crop beans available. So I don't see, you may hear discussions along those lines, but I don't know that you can, that it's going to be a wholesale movement of meal into the U.S. or corn or wheat, which all will arguably pencil in at some point, but I don't think you're going to see that. But yeah, demand destruction is a feature, going to be a feature down the road. Again, the attention, at least in my mind, is where is the size of this crop? How much are we going to have to ship? Because we may have to slow down the demand at some point, especially in the bean market.
Hey, Pete Manhart, one other item that was on your list, nitrogen deficiency. There's been an awful lot of rainfall. Are you hearing from producers that they either didn't get extra nitrogen on that they planned to put on, or that they're worried that that nitrogen they already have on is unavailable to the crop?
I think more of the what's available isn't available to the crop, and the leaching out, even in areas that look good, will there be enough there to finish it? I've had several people say, yeah, but we put on X amount, which is 60 pounds more than we need, so we can have some leach out, so we're going to have a good crop. But how much is going to be there to finish that kernel, to push it to so that it's really a good kernel? And I think that's anywhere where it's been too wet, which is a lot of the Midwest.
Let's wrap it up now. I'll get final words from each of you. Scott Harms, any final word from you?
Yeah, I think producers can look at the next couple weeks where we're far enough away from the August production report. Market might sit somewhat sideways to look at some option strategies, reopen your upside, especially in the bean market. Make these decisions now because I believe we will have a pretty volatile 45 days ahead of us and things could get pretty wild. So protect your margins on your positions, your futures positions, and make sure you're in line with your cash sales if you need to offset some of those somehow in the marketplace. Let's be thinking about that over the next couple weeks.
Matt Bennett?
Yeah, I think that if we do get the runoff that some of us are alluding to that we think that we might see, I would just like to see producers be as I said before, know exactly what it means to their bottom line, given some realistic yields, that they should have a decent idea of what they're looking at this point. Because I do think that while we should be able to get some better sales opportunities, that this market can always turn around quickly due to things that none of us are even looking for. And if you'd have told most producers a month ago that you were going to be selling corn for above $4, a lot of them would have had half their crops sold and haven't sold anything to date. So I definitely don't want to get bullish whenever the market's gone up as much as what it has.
And Pete Manhart.
Well, after the big three-week move up of $1.50 on beans and $90 on corn, I expect it to be sideways here for the short term. And then once we get into actually finding out what yields are, if they're lower than expected, I think we'll see new highs on everything. And I'm buying calls to prepare for that type scenario.
Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Scott Harms from Archer Financial Services out of Oakland, Illinois. And Matt Bennett of Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting from Windsor, Illinois. We thank them for participating as panelists on this July 16 edition of Commodity Week. You can hear our program online anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.